Listen and stream the all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
Welcome you to the Freedom Fridays, the edition of the Overdrive, where we get to balance a little bit and lighten up the mood. Much love and thanks going out to Jay. And of course, Karen, locking on the last three. And then some inside digital world for this week, all right? Big up all your whole self, guys. Now it's my turn to blaze the trail as I continue with one of the most electrifying, entertaining, fully educational, and exceptional show on radio, The Overdrive, right here on Freedom 106.5 FM. Davey in the hot seat in your company. And I'll be blazing with you all the way until 6 o'clock this evening. And of course, it is Freedom Fridays. Today marks the 27th day of the first in the year 2023 and not 1962. Just gotta put that out there. Beautiful weather on the outside. It's a brilliant Friday. Of course, it's not without the traffic congestions in various localities. So we urge you to, you know, be safe amongst up one or two fender benders while coming into the capital city here this afternoon. Now is not the time to end up in a fender bender. Time's hard. Especially if you see a rocking third party. You don't know them insurance stop already. All right. It's gonna be a task. An inconvenience to have your cars repaired. Well, you know what we do on Freedom Fridays? We offer you the opportunity to talk about topics and issues that we would have missed throughout the week. And we also going to talk about those trending topics. Anything that you want to throw out at me along those lines, you have the freedom to bring up those conversations and we'll chat about it. You know, one of the burning topics that has been discussed throughout the day is the cancellation of the infamous Soca Mona competition. You know, it's been a minute now. We realize that that competition was dying a slow and painful death. You know, coming out of the hills, I mean, it's about 30 years or so. That's like three decades. That competition would have been on the scene. And a lot of soca artists can vie and safely say they would have benefited from it. To the likes of Fayan Lyons, Monji Garlin, Ian Alvarez, Kes, Iowa. Who else? Voice. A lot of those winners, persons would have passed through on the Soca Monarch final stage platform, having a chance to showcase their talent, not just to Trinidad and Tobago, but to the world. The show sought to revive itself by inviting international acts such as movie stars and producers to be part of the talking panel on the Soca Monarch night, Fantastic Friday. However, due to unforeseen circumstances with funding, you know, we see where government and corporate Trinidad lack of interest thereof, have seen the promoters and chairman of the Soca Monarch Foundation pulling the plug on this year's activities, leaving much disappointment to the young artists. Because let's face it, the big wigs and them not fighting up with that anymore. All right, they have their reasons why. There was accusations and allegations of mafia and corruption, and it on the Soca Monarch rig, all kind of talk. And I mean, over the years, they would have sought to bring some sort of fairness by handing out stage appearance funding, meaning that every artist will get something like 75,000. In some instances, I think it went as high as 150, as low as 50, where, you know, everybody will have that money to do their props and so forth. Remember, my numbers to call are 627-3223 and 625-2257. And you can send me a WhatsApp to 306-1065. Hello, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Davey.
What's up, buddy?
Just join on, everything good, especially our listeners on the radio network at co.ct.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, those of you who are online. Davey, are you surprised?
No.
Exactly.
A lot of allegations out there on the
right.
Socials.
So,
you know.
Davey, as I was telling you, I think we should have given Marshall M&M the benefit of the doubt.
Meaning?
When he's going to have this show 40 on Fantastic Friday, it's a clever move.
Mm-hmm. Hello, good afternoon. Hello. All right, call me back 625-2257.
That person going there. Yes. So when you look at it in terms of the ISM they didn't really send out any plausible information in the early to let people know that they was going to they're going to be having a.
You know, I hear you talk that in the last conversation we had some weeks ago, and here what I tell you, everybody and the dog knows Fantastic Friday ISM is on.
Yeah.
So they don't have to put out that information is out there. They can't tell everybody, you know, we are talking about like this here. I think that was understood, you know, in my opinion. But I believe two things here. Me, tell me if I'm wrong. Maybe the monk had some insider information that this thing wasn't going to happen and
right.
decided, listen, I need to salvage Fantastic Friday somehow. And the only thing that really pull off a show that can rival it or really replace it and still command that high quality respect would have been a show put on by the monk himself. So maybe he sought to revive Fantastic Friday. I don't know. The other thing is, yeah, I'm not really on that show no more. So I'm going to take that spot and hot up the scene. Let the government know what's going on. I come in my show, try your best to fund them people. I don't know. Let's train out old talk.
That is one. And two, Davey, $3 million. The government give you $3 million. If you are hosting an event, and we were talking, me and Benny, I want to raise the issue.
Mm.
And the guy who they call around the junior said, we don't know nothing about carnival. We don't know nothing about carnival, remember?
Yeah.
We were raising the issue about sustainability. And if you're seeing an organization, I guess, 30 years, after 30 years, you cannot host something as International Soccer Monarch. That is a serious indictment on the people, the powers that be, in terms of the hosting of the event. It shows that you are bankrupt for ideas, and in terms of reviving this, you're looking at next year. What is interesting, I see the culture minister is saying that NCC will be hosting something next year, but Davey, the new mayor from San Fernando 2 days ago tell me NCC and Tuco owing him millions of dollars.
Yeah. Hello, good afternoon. Yeah, what's up?
That same thing. We kill Petrucin and kill Charogi and kill all our
boys.
That when you get the money, when you get a subvention, suppose the money to be that kickstart to invest. That come like a loan you borrow. But because we know we get in next year again, we blow it out. We look at nowhere cutting corners. We look at nowhere investing. We looking at nowhere here happening. But I know something. Out of this $5 million, I know we can invest back our one. We can hold back our one. We blow it all and we give you back nine friend limit. And we just that lack of business mindset when anything associated with government, and the same people that run the house and our business and running good enough. But once man is no is just a blowaway mash up. Breakdown, right? And I know you know that it amazes you to see all the different workers in different coming to work with vehicles 10, 20 years old, top of life conditions. By the fact we know the government vehicles some of them does run like the police, but still, the fella he making sure you put the bonnet and check everything before you leave in it. The government don't mind, the government don't know. It's taxing a bus when you that again, you because people calling hey. When we change that mindset, train out the bigger go start. We go be on the road to straighten all the politicians to talk to them. But when they realize we have that mindset, they're just feeding it and size it. And when they get off no more, we shut down like all that thing shut down there. Lockdown and listen, bye.
All right. You know, one of the things we had to recognize people is that I want to say good afternoon to Benny boy. Benny, you show off now, man. Yeah, you show off. Kadim boy, Benny showing off right now.
Okay.
That beverage, boy, the thing. Good afternoon.
And is that jacket?
Well, I say so. You're showing off, boy. You're showing off, boy. Yeah.
Kadim make my call this evening. I say this evening, I was going and sip my thing and listen good on here in the traffic.
Mm.
One of the hallmarks of Carnival is Fantastic Friday.
ISM.
One of the hallmarks of Fantastic Friday is ISM.
Mm-hmm.
And we have allowed it over the years to deteriorate in quality and in every other aspect. But I will tell you this. Some joker in the USA the other day walk away with Juve. He make a brand out of it, right?
Mm.
Everybody and your brother was up in arms. Duve, we think, how we go do that? You wicked. The man relinquished the title, he gave it back. What we do with it? Nothing. And it's the same thing. Somebody's going to come, take out your brand, Soka Monarch, Fantastic Friday, make a sustainable business out of it, and we're going to be up in arms. How we going to do that?
Now, guys, the government is saying, how could the chairman and the body that governs and put on this show want us to fund the entire thing when this is a private owned entity? It's not government. So we're willing to put up three.
Well, I would then to the government position could be described as farcical, because even the government will enter into agreements. If you look at some of the MOUs that they enter to, and the government will put the bill for that entire thing. Sanders was a good example. I'm just digressing there. So I listen to the government position, but I'm trying to understand and the double tongue.
Boy, real bad.
Something had to be amiss, man, because it cannot be that it, over the years, successively, it has been deteriorating and allowed to be reduced to nothing.
That is my point. Now, many artists, this is no secret. Many artists have cried bubble, skullduggery, scandal, and all that kind of thing about the ISM fraternity. They say it rig, you know. Blacks never win it. There were a lot of artists went up there with good renditions and never win.
Right.
And they find they find very simple things to disqualify those artists. Your stage presence was too long, you understand, because you have a stipulated time. And then they sort of fix that by putting huge clocks, timers on stage. So when an artist is on stage, you have 8 minutes from start to finish. Come to do your song, hype the crowd, various things that they were doing. And they had various excuses why several different artists who came up real good never had a chance to hold that title. Blacks is no longer with us, and he tried.
One of the most consistent artists.
Good song.
Good songs and performances. You understand? But he wasn't wrong.
After a verse and a chorus, he wept, but good song.
But he wasn't brown nosing. He wasn't bowing to the cartel.
And
people... Well, yes, he did say that. And I want to say good afternoon going out to Eclair.
I call my wife calling me. She'll tell her every time I call you, she'll call my wife.
I'll
call her back.
I like Benny's honesty, you know. And our big man can say, hey, my wife calling me, boy, I'm gone.
Davey, the interesting thing about this in terms of moving forward, now, well, they have an entire year to plan for next year.
No, well, the man already say, if he don't get the stakeholders, that is it, you know, he pull the plug. That is it. He done say that already. He said, if I'm going to have talks with stakeholders, because normally, under William Monroe back in the day, ISM would have started preparations right coming out of the gates of Carnival into the Lenten season. They would start preparations for the following year. So it takes approximately 11 months.
That's what I was telling you, that's what I was saying was plausible. That's what I tell you. Usually, I don't know if you have been tracking it, but everybody knows Carnival starts on Boxing Day.
Yeah.
So that is why I was telling you, if you get a gauge on ISM and in terms of leading up, you will know that it is going to have a Soka Monarch. And given that this year there was a lengthy delay in apprising the wider populace and Soka artists about that, that is why they are in the conundrum that they are in today.
Indeed, And now that they put it that way, I could concede and concur. Not concede, rather, but concur with what you're saying. Now, the thing about it is, I mean, somebody's saying, I heard as much as 50 million they was asking for. I find that was a bit ludicrous. But as page 5 of our Guardian is saying, they asked for 10 million, with the main price being $1 million. Now, there was a year when previous government was in office. We would have seen Soka Monarch, Calypso Monarch, Panorama titles ranging to the tune of $2 million each.
And this is the person who come in first
prize. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's up, buddy?
Good afternoon,
you know, this lesson of life. Never set yourself up for somebody to pull the plug on you. Now, it doesn't mean you can't have commitments with other people and they can't disappoint you. Because the real world, and you're going to have. And on the other, that may or may not be delivered. Right? But for something, and you don't get it on time, and this, that, and the other. That could happen. must not collapse you. You see, they look at the 11th hour now. It seems to me to be the 11th hour. You coming now to ask for money. And if you don't get it, you're dead. So you would that badly on this money, ask for it a long time ago. So that if you don't get it, you still have time to do something, you know, go smaller.
Any private sector on board, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Sign alternate sources, go smaller, you know, whatever. Whatever options they will have.
Yeah, but going smaller was not an option, eh? In my opinion.
Okay, so going smaller was not an option. Whatever the options, but you want
yes,
options.
Yes, David, that was an option. You could have just had one. Instead of Groovy, you just had one thing, and whoever comes first, you can get prizes from there. So that was, that was logical.
You mean a power monarch and call it a day?
Yes, instead of having Groovy, we could just have one thing.
Yeah, the point I'm making is not whether you could go smaller or how you should go smaller, but you need options. And it's time that will buy you those options. This 11th hour here, coming and saying, well, if we don't get 10 million, we had to stop, we had to drop the whole thing. It's a kind of hooliganism. It's like years ago when they had a strike on the highway, I'm talking about Hulsibagan, Pisa Highway there. The leader of the union come out and say, well, you know, the highway have to build. So he was real powerful for a day or two. You understand? Because he could stop the highway at this moment. When you come out with that kind of attitude that if I don't get my money, this thing has to stop. If I don't get 10 million, you're approaching the whole thing the wrong way. You're setting yourself up for failure. And at some point, failure is going to meet you. The other side of this now for me is, you see these taxpayer festivals? So I call it taxpayer festivals. Taxpayer festivals all around the world, they're going to come under pressure. And especially here with us. Right, they're going to come under pressure because the taxpayers here can't afford, you know, these kinds of lavish ceremonial festival type activity anymore. We have to live in austerity, and then we see festivals fat and getting fatter. That there's going to be a pushback on that. So that's a warning. Let this be a warning to all these taxpayer festival promoters. Let this be a warning. Thank you.
And that's a very good point, eh? Dorbasa, big up yourself this afternoon. The taxpayers...
You made a plausible contribution.
Very, very, very...
about that too, Davey, and we always talk about sustainability. It comes back to that, eh? Okay, let's say... Okay, look, I have... the government say I'm putting three. Okay, look, my three up front here. So we know we're working, we have... $6 million, we're working with this. If we get other private sector to come on board, and maybe they can also sponsor as well. We know we are looking at a target, let's just, for example, at $10 million. We already know that when Carnival is finished this year, Davey, we don't have the $10 million.
Hello, good afternoon.
Afternoon. Hey, where's the guy named there? Davey, I'm a moderator. Where are you going to be a moderator? But Davey, you know you're saying there while ladies to ban to Jane Evening. You can make out on it and this one is on, but I know you can take your part and you can want 2 days and weeks as you live with that. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Mr. Dorbasa, good evening. This morning, but we had a little talk with yesterday, the president had a little speech and he said that she had resigned from the PNM since how many, since the president. So everybody asked Eric, so I showed that little challenge to Eric. But then another guy called and said, no, you don't show no challenge to Eric. He might know. Let the press wait and do their homework. Who printed it? Right. So we look about that. Right. Going forward. And a piece of homework coming to Dorbasa. You're not going any point there. Mr. Dorbasa, good evening to Morales. Yeah. I was asking Mr. Dorbasa what logic or what reasoning is the government you support? The government you support the People's Partnership. For doubling the prize money, because that prize money had gone from 1 million to 2 million. If I could remember, I think the culture minister even went down and to present the prizes and that raised all the prizes to 2 million from 1 million. All, everything comes to that thing was 1 million, bottom line. So I'll ask them to what are the reasons, what barometer or measurement that government had used in order to raise those prize money at that age, to that stage, knowing that it might not have been sustainable in the near future, because if you're going to do something, you want it to be as sustainable as possible. And again, it's the same unsustainable mindset too. If you observe, you know, when we examine how business people conduct events, that mindset, we need to get the country on that kind of mindset. Because at the end of the day, you know, Mr. Davey, you know the 20 World Cup winners this year. You know, in the 2 World Cup, they already know where they're going to stay, that people are already preparing 4 and 8 years down the road. Even, I think the one on the Olympics, and even the Olympics are. And you know, these are people plan. So I think for being, if we are 60 years old and independent, and at 60 years old, you're a mature man in retirement age, and we can't adopt them type of mindset. I mean, when we were getting again, we had to reminiscing our old age and saying, but you know, I could have do this. No, the country is 60 years old, and I know Carnival is almost as old as that as well. Again, you know, as I think one thing that about that contribution, where he said, you know, they got to rethink, you know, so Dr. Basa still take a piece of their contribution, and you know, we got to reset and rethink how we're moving forward as well, and make these kind of like, try to be more business-like. But once that, everything I like, somebody like that, you know, a business-like approach, because at the end of the day, the supply of money do ever keep coming, no matter where you get it. But even your job at all, when you retire, your income cut by about 2/3. You know, the standard of living is to live by. You have to prepare how to live on pension, and you have to also prepare for any sickness as well. So moving along, good contribution as we try to move these entities forward. Bye.
All right, Fasha. Thanks very much for sharing.
Some very plausible contributions.
Yes.
Yeah. And logical. And Davey.
Good afternoon. Hold on. Yeah,
good afternoon. Again, gentlemen. Well, I thought that move by the Kamala Prasad administration was an attempt to buy into the PNM voter bank. And as was to be expected, it failed. The PNM openly tells you on all these talk shows and whatnot, we will take everything that you bring and we will vote PNM. You think anything like that could undermine Eric? These people are solidly placed in the PNM. That kind of giving prize money for Carnival and naming something after Mandela and these little incursions into the Afro-PNM community, that ain't gonna work. It didn't work, right? I wouldn't say it was a waste of money, but it was a waste of effort. Thank you.
All right, thank you. I just like what Dorbasa said about the taxpayers festivals. Hello, good afternoon.
All right, well, I like it so much, the GLS taxpayers festival. All right, Mr. Dorbasa, you're off the hook and answer my question. You know how long I give up that homework to Davey? How much about it? Yeah, months now, you know, since the session carnival announced. Yeah, well, we good, man. You answer the question. So you're good there now. We turn back on. I want to hook you up on my any right now. Yeah. I like the terminology, give it taxpayers festival. I that term. From now on, you're going to use that term, Mr. Dorbasa.
All right, thanks very much, Morales. Kadeem, so. Ooh, hello?
Yeah, me?
Hello, good afternoon.
Hey, JB. Hello.
They bring you back, boy.
Yeah. My wife, that's why she asked for some sauce, boy.
Your wife gave some sauce?
I get through, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, Anticam make it $2 million. That was just for like. But you see, underpinning all this, it begs the question: where is your forecast? Where is your planning? Where is your foresight for 4 years, 5 years down the road? I mean, if Carnival is an annual thing for us, we must have projections after each event. We're discussing Soka Monarch here. What went wrong? What we did right? What we could have done differently? Where we could improve? Where have we been consistent over the years? Where spend this year? What's the projection for next year? These are fundamentals of budgeting and forecasting. And if we can't get these simple things right, but then we're destined for failure each and every time, to the point where no soca monarch.
Once the government has funded.
Once the?
Government.
And that's the thing, if the prize money is $1 million, okay.
Let's just look.
Government, 500,000, and then come up with the rest. Or whoever is the promoter.
That's not that it is. The government is talking, right? That's 300, that is $9 million. We could just reduce it by half, maybe say, you might have about
9,000 people coming in there, it's probably complimentary tickets. You should down to maybe say, let's say $1 million you can generate on the night. So I don't understand the math in terms of how it is being put forward there by the persons who are currently holding the ISM and maybe the government position in terms of saying, yeah, what, 10 million? Nah, we are funding it.
Yeah, but that is an approach, but where is the justification for that 10 million? Where is the breakdown? How that 10 million is going to be spent?
Now, that is not something far-fetched to get. I mean, you're looking at stage, the pyrotechnics and all these different elements, the sound, lighting, the band that they would employ, the personnel on the ground, the various stands with the scaffolding and, right, and the cap. That could be easily justified. That trust me.
Oh, Davey, you saying it could be easily justified.
Listen, I think you see them stage building. That should be under one entity.
Obviously,
that should be under NCC.
We need lighting, we need sound, right?
Mm-hmm.
How is the awarding of these contracts done? That is where you're going to justify value for money. Where's the tender process? Where was the evaluation criteria?
No. Let me stop you there, right? That what you're looking for there is under government contract and thing. This is a private entity. I asked the government to fund me this. And the government asked me for a breakdown, I could get a breakdown. As a private entity, I could choose whoever I want to do this. You see, there would be no corruption and skull and bubble in that area as opposed to a government contract where is my friend and family getting it. Right? Let's say the three of us, me, you, and Kadeem, we are ISM. And we say, listen, we would work out. The stage going to cost us anywhere in the vicinity of about $500,000+ with the screens and the LED and the internet source and what we need. We come up to that figure, then we had to get things for this, we had to get that. But we would go through things, we'll call around, what is the best price to get my fast stage? We'll get all those things. Then we start looking at sponsorship. So then you have bigger entities, like at one time it used to be the B Mobile. International Soccer Monarch. So you have B-Mobile on board, you have Carib, you have this one, you have that one. And they would be given money. So they might say, listen, the stage is mine. So you find you get a heavy stage presence in advertising for this particular client, whatever the client is, right? If it's Freedom, well, the whole stage is Freedom, more or less, because they're paying for that. Then now, right, you're looking at prize money. The government will say, listen, it's a private entity, all your wallet sponsorship. When the government look at where the show is going and where it has gone over the years, they say, all right, this show is be broadcast and packaged and it's shown in various countries across the world. And then our artists are going out there. ISM is being branded. All right. And they could jump in and they will fund certain things. But they don't have to we don't have to put forward a procurement process if we choose not to. We are a private entity.
Right, I understand private
so
sector
we don't have to
procurement
this, we don't have to
and public
right
sector procurement.
Yeah.
But on both sides of the fence, you must show me what are my returns going to be on that.
For who? For who? For who?
Both sides.
Well, right. So I can tell you, with anything, if I'm coming to a client for sponsorship for anything, whether it's a show, a party, you must be able to tell your client, well, listen, if you give me this money, when you sponsor this, this is what I am going to do. And this is what where your brand will go. This is how you will benefit from it. So that is sponsorship 101. That's a no-brainer.
Right, but that is the non-monetary value you're getting out of it.
No.
I understand where Benny going on.
No.
You still must have oversight, Davey, because let's say, I cannot just give you $3 million. You have to show me how you're going to spend your $3 million.
I don't have to show you that. That's what you're not understanding. This is not a government thing where I have to provide disclosure. I am telling you, I am coming to you for sponsorship. I have various packages. I have a gold package, a bronze package, and a silver package. My silver starts at 10 at 2 million. My bronze is this, and my gold is 10. You
I want to disagree with you. There,
I disagree with him. Maybe okay, let me listen.
And they will have their non-disclosure, something value for money. You have to open your books to me.
I don't have to.
NCC, for example, as I'm just pointing out, check right. NCC, I think, got $180 million. NCC will have to give a breakdown in terms of who are they going to allocate Pantrin, Bago, Tuco, or whoever. So you have
right
to have a breakdown.
I am
going to spend this money.
That is NCC, which is the National Carnival Commission.
Right.
All that is under the Ministry of Culture and Gender Affairs. Culture. That part, watch me. That is the government is the umbrella, and them are subsidiaries underneath there. So it's an arm of the government somewhat. So you are now appointed to run the National Carnival Committee and to take care of carnival activities. So from the ministry, we are giving you this. You are entitled to tell me how this is going to go. Because I government think that is part of the umbrella. I am saying to you, if I am throwing off a blocko, and we calling it the overdrive party, but I need to get a stage, I'm going to need a song system, I need this, I need that. I check various sponsors. I create my packages, and each package, according to your spend, will tell you what you're getting. Let's say we're going to televise what I'm going to do. I will tell you, according to your money, you'll get a ticker tape. So I'll have a ticker tape running on the bottom of the screen, and you will see sponsored by, and you'll see a name passing across the screen. When I go for an ad break, you wouldn't get it. So I'm saying to you, as a private entity, I had to open my books to the government. All I have to do, I'm asking for sponsorship, and I'm telling you what you're getting in return for this. My books have nothing to do with you.
Yeah, but Davey, my point is, right, you turn your blocko, you are a stage. You must have an idea of the market price of a stage. So if the market price of a stage is $10, I cannot give you my $3 million and you want to tell me $50 per stage.
That's making sense.
No, well, you see, all right, let me explain to you before we go to the news, because I feel it's going after the news too.
Yeah, yeah.
If I am coming to you and say, listen, Benny, I want you to sponsor my stage. Benny's Minimart, sponsor my stage. I will provide you with an invoice for that. So your check will pay these people. I will get my stage. But if I am asking you for a sponsorship of $100,000, I didn't tell you what it was for.
The sponsorship and the tendering process to get stage and lighting and whatnot is two different things.
Right. So if I tell you,
but Davey, okay, let's look at this. Right. I hear what you're saying. Right. But let's say if the government say I'm giving you $3 million and you saying you want more, you will have to justify why you want more.
Exactly.
And the government say, well, here I ain't giving you no more. So I'm not giving you the $10 million that you want. So clearly, at the debating table, there have to be some aspect of sharing of information.
No, sharing the information is not me opening up my books to you. I will tell you, listen.
No, I'm not talking about the opening
right.
of my books, but
I will say to you,
how I'm going to
well,
give
listen,
you this money.
I will say to you, listen, we need approximately $10 million to pull off this event. We have this to do. I would list everything, giving you figures where you can do background checks on to verify for yourself as a government. You can make the calls. So I will tell you, but the thing about it is, if I'm telling you I need $10 million to do this show, and in exchange for the $10 million, this is what the government will benefit from it. Whatever I do with the $10 million to pull off the show, it have nothing to do with you. And that's what all you're not getting. I am talking from experience.
Saying,
I don't have to tell you. Remember, when I create the package, when I create the sponsorship package and the ask, unless I identify what I want you to sponsor on this, I could take the money and do whatever aspect of the show I see it needs. If I could bring down an artist, I could do anything. But if I'm saying to you, listen, I need to get Fire One Fireworks here to give me this explosion, bop, 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 bop. It's costing me $1.8 million to do this. I would like
and
you to sponsor this.
That is what I need to see, because there is value in sharing your cost structure. Just maybe I could show you a cheaper way to achieve the same results. Just maybe there is value.
Well,
and that's what you not understand.
No,
you see,
I do understand, but what you making me...
From a procurement perspective, I understand why you talk like that. From a supply chain objective, I would sing a different tune. And that is where I am speaking from, a supply chain perspective.
And still, even if you're speaking from that perspective, Benny, I'm trying for you to get where it is not hard and fast.
I know that, but I understand your point. I am asking somebody to sponsor. I understand. You have something I want. I don't have much leverage to negotiate there. But what I'm saying, there is value in opening up your books. But what I was more speaking about, me asking for sponsorship doesn't mean that you have to provide all the stage and lighting. So that is the aspect I am talking about.
Mm.
We know that there needs to be lighting and staging and all the other accessories that goes with it.
Mm.
And what I am asking is for transparency in the tender process, the public tender process, mm. for those contracts. And look at these huts around the Savannah. When I run around there in the morning, where the ply is smelling.
Nah, but you see, again, that is NCC. That is part of the government. That is
right.
An extended
and
arm.
The government,
so,
procurement, rules and regulation calls for transparency and accountability.
Not so, with a private show. That's why the government say, you ask me to fund the entire show and it's private. Maybe they check corporate Trinidad. I want you all to understand, this is not government we're talking about, you know. This is a private entity approaching the government for sponsorship. And you all are saying, I have to show you my procurement process. No, I am saying to you, no.
So the government must give a private entity $10 million without a breakdown on how it's being spent.
Boy, they could get $20 million. You're not understanding. What usually happens on those exchanges, you have to tell me, when I spend this money, what is the benefits to my company or my government on this? That's all I need to know. You will promise me that the show will do this, that. What will be the problem is if after I give you my sponsorship package and the deliverables were not met, because me telling you, finding out, so how much you're paying for that flyer, how much tickets going to cost you, how much the graphic artist, the advertising, that is null and void.
Again,
you're mixing it up. We're not going to parliament for nothing. That is why you're getting it wrong. This is not something that has to go to the government table for parliament to decide on. This is something that is private. So as a private entity, I come to you for sponsorship. I will tell you, if you give me $10 million to do this show, your returns will be this. And that is all you need to know. I have to ensure that I deliver on the returns that I promise and sign to when you give me your sponsorship. I promise you, this show is going to hit 21 Caribbean islands. It is going to be on Netflix by this time. All these things I'm telling you to entice you to give me this money. When you do so, I have to fulfill that contract. Failure to do so, I'll be in lieu to you. So all this procurement process, all you're talking about here.
I hear you, Davey, and you know what it comes down to?
What?
That is why we don't have an international soccer monarch.
Exactly. I have a problem with that.
That is why we don't have no international
monarch.
Because there's no oversight in terms of how things are going to be done. And once you don't have that, that is why we are in the conundrum today.
I wouldn't even call it because of how things are going to be done, you know.
Sam down on his foot. What would have happened? 10 million go along the drain?
No. I wouldn't say 10 million go along the drain. They would have pulled off soccer monarch.
Davey, I know the news coming up, but I just want to leave you with this piece, right? You use the word contract. Obviously, there would be some sort of contract, right?
Right.
The fundamentals of a contract, it sets out what each party is supposed to do and the consequences for either party if one is to default on their deliverables. Basic, simple fundamentals
right.
of
but
a contract.
Right, I don't want to tell you how much the stage going to cost and how much I'm paying for this. I don't have to tell you that. That's my point.
Nah,
are you going? Oh, all right, everybody go. The thing, look, we gotta continue this discussion after because I don't feel we totally getting it. All right.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
627-3223 and 625-2257. You can also send a WhatsApp to me at 306-1065. Share your thoughts. I value your opinions. And we can agree to disagree and we can share information and, of course, do so in a respectful manner. And I'm enjoying the conversation so far. This Freedom Fridays. Today is, as I said earlier, the 27th of the 1st, 2023. It's the final work day in the week for me. And for many others. And of course, the weekend is upon us and it's fat, and more fat. All right, so it's real vibes out there this weekend. So that last song I was playing there was called Mental Day, coming out from the man known as Kes. And before that, you had the Marshall and I think it was Patrice. No, Destra, Shake the Place. Yeah, man. Big tune, you know? Real, real big tune. So somebody says, good afternoon, Davey, to you, Davey. Accountable is needed when government is giving money. Now, I wanted to switch gears a little bit because I got some information that I think is very salient that I need to share with you guys pertaining to this traffic enforcement center and what they're doing to people. And I have to say what they, and I will blame the government on this one. But I'll share that information just now. Now, when it comes to So Kadeem and Benny, wherever all is, or they get touch with me when I get a chance. But when it comes to sponsorship, now, if the government is giving you a grant or a refund of a production that you would have done, you would have had to open your books and supply information to them. Good afternoon. Yeah. So if the government is giving you a grant for a project.
Hello?
Yeah, hello, good afternoon.
David, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, good afternoon.
You know, I'm so disappointed with people like Kadeem and all these fellas that are calling and talking. You know, one of the things about understanding anything is you can't come on the radio and don't understand that Carnival, if Carnival is a trigger. And you know, I thank God I listened to Dr. Roger Hussein, because that's the man who said, listen, you already become the country going with little diversification because, hey, you can't do it now. What you have to do is hoping that people benefit. Listen to that. I don't want to quote the man wrong because I think he's the only economist as a nationally. He said, make sure all they benefit from the Carnival. And I'm on the radio here, listening. Not so much, you know. A lot of fellas who are not nothing but Carnival. Dubai Satres never went to the Mashgra. He know our song is right. But he pronounced it on Carnival. I will call him back, Davy, because I need to put them, give them some lyrics this afternoon.
All right, cool. I don't know what attending an event had to do with making a pronouncement. I mean, you don't have to attend the event, but you're observing and you could see. Eric, I know where you're going with that, but I'll go hear from you later on. 627-3223 and 625-2257. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Davy.
Uh-huh.
What's up?
Hi there, cool.
All right. You're the man who named Davy Maury, right?
Hey, my whole government name, boy, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Adami,
you know,
Adami.
You know Woodbrook side, though?
Woodbrook?
Yeah.
Why are you doing in Woodbrook?
Oh, they have a street up there named Maury Street, you know, and I don't know, I thought they would probably name it after you.
Well, you know my name is that kind of name, so...
But here, the last caller, and he say like chutney, boy?
You know.
He said Dovasa, I know what, Calypso and Steel Barn and Jamin and thing, but Dovasa know what chutney? I sure, the last caller like chutney. Played him never massive for go sign the song for him now. The one about
we not playing that song, okay?
play that for him now, boy.
I say no, boy.
Oh gosh, man. Quiet him down a little bit.
Nah, he will be quiet. He normal. We do have to play that song to quiet him. I'm not playing that on the people
yeah,
of them good.
You like
radio.
It, man.
Well, you can go up and find it on iTunes or YouTube or whatever.
Tell him. Next time he call. Tell him I say right, because I just turn off the radio when he talking. So tell him now that I say that go up and find the raw masses and put on the headphone and whine and jam on it.
All right, no problem. You go tell him.
Yeah, all right.
All right. Good afternoon. Good
afternoon, Davy.
Yeah, buddy. So I was just making a point to you here. I mean, I heard what you and Benny.
No, before we go to that point, I don't like to call him as Rowley Jr. I don't know his name, whoever south or wherever he called me from. He tell me that Carnival. I want them to ask you. I want them to tell us why you don't have any ISM.
All right.
Call you back in. Don't worry, he go call back in the line. I want to hear him. I want him to answer that question: why it doesn't have any ISM? Since we don't know what Carnival, and he's an expert.
Well,
I
was just trying to figure out what attending a show had to do with you making a pronouncement.
Absolute rubbish.
Yeah,
maybe
I don't.
The position that is put across by some of these callers, I don't know if they understand. We are talking about sustainability. I don't know what he missed, but we had an entire show. We were trying to break down why it had the disconnect and the whole set of things, and we were trying to get why it is not sustainable.
Exactly.
And what he missed? Which program he was
talking about? I don't know. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. You know, Davy, before I address the thing you and Kalim were discussing, Davy, if you like whatever you like, that places no obligation on me.
Right.
Because it has things I just eat that my wife do eat. It has things that my mother begging me to eat. And, you know, since I was growing up, people like what they like, they eat what they eat, they drink what they drink. That, none of that places any obligation on me. To like and eat and drink and to suit you. You do what you do, I do what I do. Now, concerning the matter of you get a grant or something from the government and you simply have to get people to perform accordingly when I say perform in terms of carry out their activities and so on. More would be required, you know, especially with taxpayers' money. Right? Sometimes I watch Shark Tank and whatnot, and they would ask the business person who is seeking an investment that, you know, how much of your money have you invested in this?
Mm. Oh, no, listen. Durbasa, hold on.
$100,000.
Durbasa, hold on. You see what you now enter into there with Shark Tank? That is separate and a part of what we're discussing. That is something totally different. If I am buying into your company, if I'm making an investment into your company, which means I will be benefiting from the profit margins of that company, I'm entitled to open your...
There's a difference. I'm talking about, we want to know that you are taking money from me for whatever reason, okay? The point I was making is, I'm giving you money and you have no investment, you have nothing to lose, because you have not put out any, right? Or you put out that kind of thing.
And again, that does not apply to ISM either. You see, you're all missing the thin line that is being placed there, you know. The government is saying, why should we fund the whole thing? The man to put on the show is $10 million. I ask the government for what? I ask one sponsor to sponsor the whole thing. Give me $10 million. You say no. Okay, you offer me three. I would have checked now. I know how to make up the remaining seven. So I check in various private entities, and what I am getting cannot sustain what I need to do to put on a proper show. So in all fairness, rather than still fight up to do it, however it is, we are missing the fine line as to the government is sponsoring. They are not investing and buying in.
Blindly.
Nobody sponsors anything blindly.
Exactly, so you have to see something. You know what's interesting, Davey?
Uh-huh.
Okay, before you sponsor anything, will you not want to know the background of what you're sponsoring?
More than just saying, well, I'm sponsoring, I have no questions. That's not how it goes.
No, all right, thanks. I am not saying that is how it goes, guys. I am simply saying that if the government says, listen, you want me to sponsor 10, I'm willing to give you 5. What can I get in return from a $5 million? I will then, as the promoter, say, listen, for the $5 million, this is what I can do for your entity. This is where I'm taking the show. This is how you're going to benefit from
it. Right, this is the objective.
This is my objective. That's it. However I break up that $5 million to spend it, I have to complete the objective that I promise you. And that's what people are understanding. I don't want to tell you how much money for the stage and how much money for the ladder.
No, Davey. As the government now, you will want to know, because you have to make the government have to make the selection criteria here if the government is going to be sponsoring this. You should have people who will be collecting data and analysis of this event.
Nothing is wrong with that.
And after you do that, after you finish up with that, Davey, at the end of it, there must be a result. And that result should be able to say, okay, we have seen productivity here. We can continue with this. We can continue to spend taxpayers' money in this particular area.
What I want a little understand?
No, I understand what you're saying, Davey.
Good.
And what you're saying, that is the reason why we don't have ISM this year. Because they have no oversight body. You could just give me money as you want and I spend as I want, I do what I want.
And I don't believe that neither. What you just said, Kadeem, I do not believe that neither. You're having me in opposition to you this afternoon because of the simple fact that I, as the government, say, the government never say that ISM refused to give them information or say what they could benefit from. The government simply said, I cannot afford 10, I can give you 3.
Right.
I can sponsor 3. Now, I am saying to you, from a promoter's point of view, a person that puts on show, does television, I can tell you, when you are looking and propagating and negotiating with sponsors, right? You create your packages and people buying, I want to be the diamond sponsor. I want to be title sponsor. I could buy into this. People pay various monies and sponsorship buy into various sponsorship packages with various returns. So if you give me a 5,000, you will get a ticker tape. When the promo go out, your name go mention. For 50, you come title sponsor. So it have different...
Davey, Benny and all of us and those who are listening, we understand what you're saying, you know?
People were saying that the government needed to get information. And I'm saying the government, the way I am looking at the article and the way ISM has approached the government, they has approached the government not for a grant. We would like sponsorship. And as the government, I will say to you, how will we benefit by giving you this sponsorship? What are you going to do for us? And you will then say to me, listen, as the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago, I will take ISM to Finland. It is going to hit every Caribbean islands after. We're going to package it. We're going to sell it up there. We're going to do different things. I am going to put Trinidad, and as a government, Trinidad and Tobago going here. If it's a beverage, and the beverage company say, listen, I gain here, I have $1 million invested in this, what am I getting? Well, listen, your beverage will be the signature beverage for the day. No other beverage on this level could sell. Meaning, let's say it's a juice, only your juice selling, because according to how much money you spend, we ain't got buying, no other juice can come. But we'll get soft drink, we'll get water, we'll get different things. If it's blue waters and I just calling a figure. Guys, how it goes?
JP,
I'm listening to you, buddy.
We understand all of that, what you said there.
Nice.
Right. The reason why we don't have ISM is why?
Because of funding.
Exactly.
Money. The man say he don't have no money.
Right.
And because of that, now people saying that the government, now I am saying, right, the government should have recognized that this is a viable entity. I mean, it was dying a slow death, but it's something that was sustainable for many years. And I'm saying to you, something more should have been done to salvage it. But not just the government alone. ISM is not a government institution. Good afternoon. Welcome to the.
I thought you wasn't going to let me in, Davey. Eric here.
Good afternoon, Eric.
You called somebody else, Eric, just somebody anyway. Davey, haven't you all come to the conclusion that I have, that since we haven't marshaled Monday on a Friday, that is the reason why we have no ISM?
Well, watch, man. that is an alleged. That is up for opinion, up for speculation, yes. But that is not fact.
A lot of presumptuousness.
That it's Good Friday could fall on a Monday.
Right. No, it's not Marshall Monday and a Friday.
But Debbie, let me just say this to you, okay? Uh-huh. We have to be realistic about something. A private venture must be profitable. If it's not profitable, then you're spinning top in mud.
Right.
I remember when those fellows were running things like poison and things out of Diego Martin. Those guys were making money like mint. I mean, when William Monroe had ISM, okay, he did excellent with it. I don't know why did he give it up. He probably felt that he had peaked and you don't want any more of it. But at the end of the day, once you have two shows like Marshall Monday on a Friday, ISM ain't gonna make. It's as simple as that. It's like if you're paying the car for them to run and there are nobody in the audience, which is what some people wanted us to do some time ago. Things are changing, right? But there'll be, you know, I'll tell you something. There are some people who just does not like Carnival. And I've asked you before, please, play Irie Temple for me now. Let them understand what Trinidad Carnival is about, what it should be about, and how we love Carnival and the reason why we love it, because of what it does in relation to cultural aspects. Okay, Davey?
All right, buddy.
Davey, that song is so okay. I don't have peace and flavor. I hear it and I don't have peace and flavor.
All right. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon, Davey.
Yeah, good afternoon, Tabati.
Yeah. What, I'm moving off. I want to tell you. Bobasa Trace don't like nothing about Carnival, Davey, so you would not expect nothing positive coming off from Bobasa Trace about Carnival. Yeah,
no,
so when will we Julian make the statement there about he don't write anything with him. You know that we're following all over the place, he has bad talk and anything about Carnival. And what are you talking about? Where he just eat, his wife is eating and cutting. Is that thing where when he eating, he and his wife love it?
All right.
Yeah, I think we don't need no diatribe. Davey, I think you and I can agree that he made some plausible points.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily always agree with him, but he has some plausible points. And at the end of the day, it comes back to the big question. How can we make Carnival sustainable and to reduce what we have here with ISM?
Well, listen,
conundrum.
If Carnival had to be sustainable and the only way for that to happen is because the government had to spend money alone, then it will never be sustainable because
that is madness.
Exactly. And Durbasa said it's a taxpayer's festivity. So for Carnival to be sustainable, We have to show that sustainability outside of government intervention. Government is a byproduct of the thing or a part of it. It shouldn't be wholly and solely dependent.
And maybe the government have a point here in terms of where they are trying. They have an opportunity where they can get NCC involved. But the thing about it...
Well, NCC is part of the government.
You have to look at the background. You have to have objective. You have to do some search in terms of how you're going to search methods, how you're going to connect with your diaspora outside Canada.
And all that. Hello, good afternoon.
New York, all over.
It's for years, taxpayers spend money in Carnival. I love Carnival. I was a born Trimbigonian. It is of life and our culture in the island. The pan, beautiful. The calypso music, beautiful. You know what is killing it? You see, when by the NCC that requests funding for the Carnival season, what kills it is the outright way of how they do the request for funding. If it is they want to get funding for Carnival, okay, you need $5 million to build a stage, X, Y, and Z. Well, list it. It's a business. It is a business. You're always saying it's not only culture. It indulges people from around the world to come in and spend their money to see how we promote our Carnival and enjoy the music at the same time. Well, okay, so you put down what are these funds needed or is to be directed to, right? And then of course when you do that, then you have after you build up everything and everything ready for the honky dory and people ask to pay to go into the North Stanley Grandstand, what are your revenue streams? And list it down for everybody to see. Now, if it is you put everything honestly on the table, a lot of dislikes of Carnival will then say, well, boy, we make in or we break in. And that is where this whole thing is destroying the essence of it. Say what it is you want. Okay, the government give you $5 million, fine. Take it and show the government what are you bringing back to the island or what are you putting back in relation to what was removed from taxpayers. Is it to say that you're paying your taxes on your net revenue or your gross revenue? What it is, show what it is, what kind of money you're making to justify what it is you're doing. And if it is it makes money, everybody on this rock here will love Carnival because in a way, it generated enough money to put back plus a little extra. And everybody will like you. Oh gosh, oh, let me be reasonable.
All right. Now, first of all, I want to ask a question. Is Carnival belonging to the government or is Carnival a private entity? The Carnival. Does Carnival belong to the government?
Well, it depends how you look at it.
But I'm a point. Is Carnival the PNM?
From the NCC's perspective, you would say the government will have a part to play. If
right.
You look at it from a promotional perspective, then you will see private sector.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon again, Davey. And thanks for the previous hour to understand that the vehicle for Carnival is NCC. And we could really see the accountability process with respect to what is being financed, being at Skinner Park, being at Panorama.
Yeah, but NCC is an arm of the government. NCC was charged with the responsibility by the government
matter,
for various shows.
There are lots of state enterprises, arm
right.
of government, accountability is due to the auditing. And
exactly.
Like that.
I could understand that.
And let me tell you something.
ISM now, doesn't belong to...
Right? Carnival is not dying. There are aspects of Carnival and why ISM cannot take place. Now, people forget that ISM, I don't think it took place in 2021. There was none in 2020. I think the last time was in 2019, and it was successful. The whole thing about it is when you have participation from private, if government donate, or let's say, as you all say, it's not an investment per se, because people always want to return an investment. If the whole cost is, let's say, 200 million, let's say 50 million, government for 10, the exposure government should get is, listen, the culture being exposed to television rights and these sort of thing. Now, what people miss is that because of international soccer, you might have almost 2,000 people coming from the U.S. What are bringing in? Where are they staying? And this is what I'm keep telling, you know, all of the intellectuals that you have on your program, that the investment extends. That's what Mr. Hussein was talking about. The hotels get filled, right?
No,
people, you have to employ more people. Look at it. When
maybe we're not disagreeing with that.
I'll let him vent.
300 men for security. Go ahead.
No, I said we're not disagreeing with what you said.
Yeah, we're not disagreeing with you. We agree with what you said. We agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not disagreeing with you.
Yeah, but when people come, and when I talk about Dubasa Trace, Dubasa Trace is a pessimist because he believed that, listen, you talk about, if I were to think that government put $147 million for Carnival and it's taxpayers' money and you want accountability, that's fine. But you know what? If you want to stop it, then I would think government should stop contribution to the Mahasabha, contribution to emancipation support. Don't get no grant for Indian Arrival Day. Don't get no grant for this. Because you know why? If accountability is the whole difference, then hey, let me stop everything. Because all people don't understand why we triggering Carnival with $147 million, where it could almost bill to almost $1 billion because of what people come in with. The movement of people is commercial. So I think you have people who don't understand the Carnival, that what triggers the Carnival as a catalyst, but they just get it done. You want accountability. That's fine. That's fine. But let me tell you something. Government contribution to NCC is what we'll put to make a whole movement and a vibrancy of activities that could put money in people's pockets, especially people at the lower end of the ladder. And are you going to understand that? Something wrong.
I just want to ask you this. Caller, are you there?
No, you go.
Maybe either you don't all yet. I was going to ask him why Tuku is empty. Those tents are empty.
No, I mean, somebody says here.
If you're not producing something that is palatable to the people, they're going to regurgitate it, Davey.
Well, yeah. Good afternoon, Davey. Everyone, including government, supposed to know the history of ISM and where it started, how huge it became, and the artists that won. After not having anything for 2 years, to see where this has reached is shocking. After Mr. Monroe took it to an international level, the pressure shouldn't be on government to toe the line. The organizers should do their own checks and balances, as it were, as to why a recognized international show has failed. Because a lot of soca artists came just to enter. Imagine how they are feeling. This is was an international event where a lot of recognized people came to judge or to watch. And that is the point I am making. There are artists... ISM failure, I am not blaming the government. The government has supported IFM, various governments, over the years, you know. Millions of dollars, you know. And if at this stage, ISM cannot stand up on its own and show the people, show the government, you have given us, okay, we giving back. We starting to build to rebuild viability on this thing. Then it just begs to differ while you're doing the money all the time. All you're living lavish lives. All you do, all you have to do. All to the corruption and bubble and kakala that the people have, that artists have been accusing the organizers of. Maybe it was true. Maybe. I don't know. Because at the end of the day, one government step into the play for 5 years, and everybody who win, Calypso Monarch, Dimash Gra, this, that, everybody, the winners alone, Kadiman, you know that, walked away with $2 million, the winners alone. So, I mean, they would have taxpayers paid for this show to go global, and it failed today. Two organizers, two men came up and said it failed. So, Kadeem, I don't know. Them organizers...
I think something is interesting you said there, Dave. If you are a promoter, one of the things that you should do when you throw a party, you will want to collect data and you will want to do some analysis to know if you... Well, obviously, you will know if you make a profit, your target audience, you will try to gauge at that and you will work. If you are having that going on for the last couple of years, Dave, again, you're going to expect to be in a quagmire. And when you come and you ask for sponsorship and people reject that, well, you can't put on no show.
That is it. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good evening. Look, look now, fellas, right? The arms of government that controls and happens to know what these revenues really and truly generate, if any at all, with references to Carnival. The government of the day has the NCC, that is the body responsible for the presentations and the billing of booths and all them kind of things around the Savannah. So they know how much booths they have, how much vendors there would be, and the revenues involved in having those booths. The North Stand, the Grandstand, the entry fees to go in on shows every Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, or whenever during the week, for the Panorama, etc. So NCC knows, and then the food badges that is given by an arm of the state under the Ministry of Health, right? So to have vendors selling foods, and you pay for that. So if it is everybody knows what these arms are in relation to the government and taxpayers' money, they will know exactly what these revenues are. And then references to the hotels and the stores that will be making money via the foreigners coming in. There's all, and that information is passed down in the statistical entries at the airport, etc., and the hotels. Put everything under an umbrella. Remember, this is not only, Carnival is not only in Port of Spain. It's in all cities in the island that has Carnival. And the NCC takes these funds and give it to these various cities in Trinidad and Tobago and distribute the funds to build up their little stages and have their little programs and all of these kinds of things. So they know what money is needed to be spent, and they know what is generated. They just say what it is. NCC has the right to say, well, this is $5 that I requested that I got from the arm of the state, and this is what we made, $10. So we earned $10 or $5 or whatever the case is, but put it down after the fact. There was never a time that I ever saw anything of the sort like that, what I mentioned on the paper, on the newspaper, or even on TV, or even said on radio. Nothing. They just say, this is what they say, well, this is what we want, and that's it. No, if it is, you bring it across in a way, just like Tobago. Tobago said it all, the THA. They requested money, this is what they got. This is what they spent, this is what they earned. And it was a successful thing across the board because everything was there in a small island, 55,000 people living in it. Eh? And then the revenues they earn, say what is you're going to put. You see, if you put it away properly, your island and your people will say, well, boy, although I don't like Carnival and the mass and Bacchanal and all that kind of thing, we really and truly made money, and the money was used for this constituency, this, and encourage, and that is what you use public purse monies to develop the various states in the island. And if you do it like that, people in the island would say, "But I love by mass. Although I don't play it, I love it because you know why? It produces a revenue that builds up my community, and that is how they would like it."
Well,
Yeah, Davey, what you usually have is a blanket statement. So you will have the minister will come and say, well, we make $200 million. You will give a specific breakdown in terms of how you're making that $200 million. Now, hear this. We don't have a problem in terms of hotels, and that is not the question here. You see people misunderstanding in terms of what we have the discussion. And a lot of points are coming out. How can Carnival, at the end of the day, how can it become sustainable? I've been listening to all the programs that you all have on a Friday, and there's this guy in Canada, I think it's Canada, he deals with the diaspora over there, I think it's Ansem, and he says, and he was talking about Tuco, those tents. If you're collecting a subvention, Davey, and simply as those Tuco tents, why are they empty?
I understand.
Yeah, the reason why they're empty is that what you're singing is not palatable to the people. They are rejecting that. And as long as that is empty, that will never become sustainable.
So true.
We could pull how much hotels we have in Trinidad. You have a home number of persons who will benefit in terms of food and whatever, and a whole sort. At the end of the day, how is it going to become sustainable? That is the big question. Nobody have a problem. And in terms of, I listened to the show for the last hour and something, and to me, I have put a number of contributions as possible. And I want to say to Rowley Jr., nobody have a problem in terms of how much persons are coming from overseas, in terms of how much persons we are tapping into our diaspora from overseas are returning back here into Trinidad and participating in Carnival. And of course, being in a hotel will be one of that. So they will benefit from that. So there are a lot of case studies in terms of how it's supposed to be done. Davey,
hi.
When you look at our service sector, Tobago is predominantly a service sector driven economy. You agree with me with that, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. If you don't have numbers, how are you going to work, baby? How are you going to make changes?
I hear you.
You need to have numbers. If you don't have numbers, at the end of the day, you have to have people going around.
And in terms of collecting data and you have to do analysis, you must look at the results and you have to have a conclusion. After that, you have to incorporate things at the end of the day that is going to be beneficial to the country. Look at this. If you want to ask you this question, when you was coming to work, did you notice the white elephant that you saw there in Trinity? Yes, on the left-hand side, when you were coming on by Trinity, the Trinity Mall on the left-hand side, they are building. What was supposed to be housed there?
Pantry and Bagel.
Exactly. How much years that white, that store I saw that has been there and it hasn't been developed as yet? But when you look at the Ministry of Trade, they have something called the GFF, the Grant Funding Facility, and they have the RDF, the Research Development Fund, that gives persons up to $350 million now, actually $350,000, sorry, up to $1 million to develop PAN, and we can sell PAN. Building the Desperados is one area. There are a number of other places in this country, but we must have a particular place, a home, and that home has become an eyesore. And why does persons have to wait 5 and 6 months maybe after they place Panorama to get paid $1,000 or $1,500?
It's ridiculous.
It is certainly ridiculous.
But you allocate and $150 million towards Carnival, but people start to wait to get money. So I don't understand.
And what is interesting, if you think that the problem is just in Trinidad, it has now morphed into Tobago, because from Tobago Carnival in the ending of October, persons still haven't been paid. And that doesn't have to check. You just have to go up on social media and you will see them complaining on a weekly basis. So it's something is seriously wrong, fundamentally wrong in terms of how we are looking at it. Maybe time for UWE to do a case study on Carnival, get all the stakeholders on board, including promoters, those persons who are in the private sector, and come up with something that is plausible and something that we have to move forward with. Yes, Carnival is going to generate a certain amount of money. I could lump it with the creative sector, David. The creative sector in this country have serious potential. And I draw the reference to you as South Korea. You look at the number of groups, BTS, and the number of movies coming out from South Korea. They have managed to grow their creative sector to billions of dollars.
Right.
Because they have planning and they have put things in place. We cannot continue on this route or this trajectory that we are going, because the only place we are heading, baby, is no man's land.
All right. I hear that. We have had healthy discussions on this today. Thank you very much, my good friend Kadeem, for sharing.
Yes, so thanks, Sam. I'll go on, baby.
All right, buddy. We take a commercial break, and when we come back, we continue with our show.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
It's the final workday for me, 14 minutes after the hour. And I did promise you guys that on the heels of yesterday's conversation, we did unearth or discover some information that was quite true and very scary. Because, well, first of all, let me tell you what the information is, right? You have to be very careful with whom you allow to drive your vehicle in your absence. Or even your presence. Be very careful with who drives, who you lend your vehicle to, who you rent your vehicle to. Because if that person commits a traffic violation, now remember we talk about the difference between traffic offense and traffic violation. Offenses was something that was arrestable and summons the court and thing. Now they have reduced it from being an offense to a violation. So you just violate the law. You understand that kind of thing? If somebody drives your car in your absence, you lend them it and you rent them it and whatever, and they get a ticket, and they bring the car back to you without telling you that they got a ticket, and they do not pay that ticket, the permit of the individual will be sanctioned, and the vehicle that the person used to commit the violation will be sanctioned. What do I mean by that? So this person drove your car for a month while you were out of the country. You lend them your car, and they was driving your car for a month. And you come back home and you take your vehicle. They got 3 tickets. They get a bus route ticket, 6 points. Another time they get a seatbelt ticket, 4 points, and they get a ticket for a phone. 13 points accumulated. Just say, they ain't pay none. License office pick up for them, suspend them, the license on suspension. Now, you now decide, well, you know, I want to sell this car. So let me go and sell my car. Now you sell the car, or somebody comes and buy that car. Now, you know, these days, most people, they buy a car, and then after a while, they will go and transfer, do the transfer, right? So you pay your money, sign receipt, you own the car. And then they go and do the transfer. When you reach a license office to do a transfer on that vehicle, and they pull up that number plate, that vehicle was sanctioned for unpaid ticket violations. So now they're telling you, you have a bus route ticket for $2,000. All right, let me not go so high. So you have a ticket for $1,000 per seat belt. There was another ticket for cell phone, $1,000. And none of these tickets were paid. So this person, let me just say that they didn't get suspended. But after 30 days, they get the 3 points each. So they now have 6 points on their permit. So they're still allowed to drive legally. But the tickets had to be paid either by the violator or the owner of the car. Whoever reached first. Now, that person never paid the ticket, but license officers know you must come and renew your permit. Or any transaction that individual have to do with license office, that ticket has to be paid. So when you go on with your innocent self to sell your car or to buy the car, whatever, they're telling you, hey, this ticket, this car has two tickets on it, each at $1,000 principal, but with $500 each ticket. Interest. So that those tickets are now valued at $3,000. The license officer is telling you, here what's going on. In order for us to do any transaction with this motor vehicle, those tickets have to be paid. Now you didn't commit the act. You did not break the law. You loaned out the vehicle and that person broke the law. Hello, good afternoon. Hello. Hello, good afternoon. 627-3223 and 625-2257, or you can send me a WhatsApp to 306-1065. Good afternoon.
David.
Uh-huh.
If the person who drive the car when you get the ticket, right?
Uh-huh.
Then that won't show up in license office.
What won't show up? Who violate?
Yeah, who violate the thing?
Yes. They're telling you?
Is he who has to pay the consequence because he was driving the car?
Right. But remember, he didn't pay it.
What does it have to do with the transfer? Let me hear how the transfer come in.
Right.
Make an obstruction.
Right. So what license officers are telling you, that because the vehicle has a sanction on it for unpaid violating tickets, no transaction can go wrong with that vehicle until those tickets are paid. Now, you, the owner, did not commit the infraction, but you cannot sell your car, or somebody can't buy that car. The car can't transfer. In some instances, not in some, in all instances, you cannot even inspect the vehicle, especially taxis. When you go with your, when you carry a taxi to inspect your maxi taxi, your bus to inspect, you cannot do no transaction at the license office until those tickets are paid. You didn't do it. They know you didn't do it. They know it's a driver. They know the driver name. They can tell you exactly where, what happened, what the ticket was for. But they're letting you know somebody had to pay that before David, you can conduct your business.
David.
Yes, sir.
One of the fellow who was driving, they wouldn't look for him.
Here is what happened. Remember, when they come to look for you, they're no longer looking for you unless you reach the threshold and cross it. So if you have two tickets that you never paid, right? And those tickets were 3 points each. You never paid, so the tickets going up to 3,000 because 1,000 each, right? That 3,000 waiting for somebody to pay. Now, remember, if you took out your license for 10 years and you get a ticket in your second year, you are 8 years again before you go back to the license office to do any transaction with your
Now, if you lost your permit or it gets stolen, you had to go and get a permit, you had to pay them tickets before. But once you have your permit, remember, they're not going to look for you. No, there is no longer a law in place. The amendment states, before, tickets used to be dealt with in a sense that you have to go to court. When you get a ticket, you have 14 days to pay. In default, you are hereby summoned to court. That information was already on the ticket. That first court date, if you don't pay in 14 days, is on the ticket. If you fail to appear on that first 14 days, the magistrate will proceed by summons to get you to come to court. If after that summons was served on you and you don't come, the magistrate can either send a fresh summons or a bench warrant where when the police hold you, they will arrest you and take you before the court. So you ain't really going to jail. They hold you, they keep you in the station overnight, carry in the court the next morning, and you deal with your matter. That is how it used to be. Now, because the tickets are now, the breaking of the traffic laws are no longer a traffic offense, but a traffic violation, there is no arrest and there is no warrant. So no magistrate or judge is not going to send a summons for you to appear in court. You have 14 days to contest the ticket when you're given it. If you don't do it, the system will automatically say this person is not contesting the ticket and they're going to pay. So the system will just, the ticket will now be generated in such a way where it's just there for payment. 14 days after your 30 days you don't pay, it's going up by 25%. After another 14 days pass, you still don't pay, is a further 25, so you now have 50% on the ticket, wherever the ticket is, right? So a $1,000 ticket, 50%, you know that is, a $2,000 ticket is three. But what I'm saying, because license office, the traffic enforcement agency, are flagging and sanctioning the vehicle and the permit, when you go, after you learn out your car, whatever, you having a problem. So they're telling you, well, is Malcolm Jones or Eddie Charles commit this or no? It's up to you to go and find that person and get the money from them. But you can't conduct no transactions. Good afternoon.
Hey, David, you tell me that now. You know, yesterday I learned something there, nah. Because anybody going to push that car, nah, you have to make sure that car clear them tickets.
It also hard to check that too. It's difficult to check that as well.
Yeah, difficult to check that yourself. Because you can see a man give you an app, I don't like it. You can see a man get a car and say, boy, it's a deal, boy.
So what will happen? All right.
Yeah, chance.
All right, Morales. Yeah. All right, Morales. Thanks very much. Hello, good afternoon.
Yes. So coming back to the traffic violation, if a bandit put my number plate on his car and he break a time and light on the highway, or he commit a crime and people report that vehicle number, what's the situation there?
Well, if your vehicle number is reported stolen, or your plate is the fine, remember each plate, right, will be for a particular make and model of car with a serial number. So if your car is a Mazda 6 carrying PDX9985, and they find a Toyota Corolla carrying that number plate, PDX9985, and they put something on that, when they pull up that plate, they will know, does not belong to this car.
But let me say, in the case, it's two same make and model.
The serial number stands up there. So you will be safe.
The serial number will stand up?
Yes.
Even if it's an old vehicle?
Yes.
So are you saying the license office is really up to date now?
Yes, it will be like that.
Okay, so a wrong number plate will be the first category with the serial number of the vehicle. Okay, thank you.
All right, cool. So what I'm saying is this. You have to understand what happens with the ticket. Now, when I told that to Inspector Philip this morning, he said, David, that is not so. That is madness. So you're telling me that the owner of the vehicle now have to pay when he didn't commit it? He said that is unconstitutional. He didn't say unconstitutional. We found out about that after. He said that is not right. So he called the commissioner. He called them. We did some intense investigation. and come up with the answers. They said, sad to say, that is how it is. Hello, good afternoon. 627-3223, 625-2257, or send a WhatsApp to 306-1065. Now, when he said that, hello, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, very quickly.
Uh-huh.
Well, I was telling you about that yesterday. So am I vindicated now?
Yes, you are. Yes.
All right.
Yes. So when we looked at it, we called, we did some background checks. It appears that the government of the day, with the amendments that they made to the Traffic Act, do not care about the citizenry. It is simply unconstitutional to make somebody pay for something when they did not commit an offense or violate the law. That is what is happening under this government. You have to now find that person and get that person to pay. It becomes a civil matter. It is not criminal or anything of that sort. It is now a civil matter before the court. But not before the court. It is a civil matter. Listen, our information for you, it real stink out here, you know. Here, why are you telling all you? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. I'm listening intensely to your conversation. And I'm trying to be practical and reasonable and so on. Uh-huh. If the government is installing cameras on traffic lights to detect speed violations and so on, if someone is driving a vehicle, how is the government, the police, to determine who is the driver of the vehicle?
Well, right. That law has been amended. All right. That law has been amended and it is very clear cut. At that stage, the person, the registered owner of the vehicle, will receive the traffic ticket. Whoever is registered to, that person is going to get it. They're going to flag the car and pull up the registration and they're going to send the ticket to that registered owner. You have to now know you wasn't driving the car at that point in time and seek redress other ways. Good afternoon.
Davey, I'm trying to understand what the problem is, you know. The last time I had to buy a car, I made a check for the owner and we met at the licensing office to have it transferred. So when you put the license office and your car transfer and the owner is there, the owner says, hey boy, they went to talk to me, the owner is paying on me.
I'm going to tell you something, yeah? All right. Yes. Listen off here. I'm going to tell you something so you're going to understand what I'm talking about. Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, sir. I was cut off there.
Sorry about that. So what I'm saying...
If we are talking about full swell status and so on, we have cameras and traffic lights and all that.
I just told you, what happens in a case like that, they're not going to ticket the driver. A ticket will be sent to the registered owner
of the vehicle,
the vehicle to whatever address is registered to. That person is going to get the ticket. So the ticket is going to come in your mail, but there will be no points for it. The red light traffic comes, you will get no points.
But you were speaking just about what exactly. I came into your conversation
I am speaking
wrongfully that it was something like that you were speaking about.
Not the red traffic comes in there.
What exactly were you saying
to you that if you lend your car to somebody, you leave the country and you say, boy, you tell your cousin, well, listen, or your brethren, hold on to the car now, drive my car, keep it running for the little 21 days, and my wife, we go out of the country on vacation, you allow somebody to use your vehicle.
Yeah.
And you come back in the country. Uh-huh. While you was away, that person get 3 tickets or 2 tickets with your car. Or even 1 ticket, they get a ticket. But they never pay the ticket. So they get a ticket for $1,000 for not wearing a seatbelt. But they never paid it. What happens when you come back home now, they never tell you they get a ticket. You come, you check your car ain't no bounce, you happy, your car starting, you going about your business, hunky-dory.
Right.
Them never pay the ticket. A year later, you say, boy, I want to upgrade this. I'm looking to sell my... When you go down license office now, the person come with a check, money passing, whatever you're going down, let me go and transfer the car. And when you go to transfer that car, because that ticket was not paid, no transaction could happen with that car. You can't even get a certified copy. Nothing.
Okay.
So... Now, when you tell the license officer, but I didn't violate this, I say, no, Mr. John, it wasn't you, you know. I'm seeing Miguel Lancaster. Do you know that person? Yeah, I'm a brethren. Well, that person drove your car and commit this act on it. So you can get Miguel to come and pay the fine, or you pay the fine, but somebody had to pay. Now, mind you, if you decide to pay the $1,500 at that point in time, all sanctions lift off of your vehicle and sanctions lift off of his permit.
Oh, that's
a different story.
That is what is happening. And
no,
that,
well, something wrong with that.
That is what I say, that it's wicked and it needs to be revisited and be amended. Because
yes.
The reason that the demerit points came into the system in the first place is to rehabilitate errant drivers and drivers who... Right. But you can't rehabilitate a car.
You don't rehab
a vehicle. No. The vehicle didn't commit the violation by itself.
No.
An operator did.
That doesn't make sense.
So that is what the law states. And the Commissioner of Transport told the good inspector, nothing he could do about it. He said, boy, that is within the section. And he said, we're between a rock and a hard place when it comes to this. He said, but that is madness. It's ludicrous. So now, serious talks is being put up now. Now, so much so, it went a step further. The Traffic Enforcement Center sought to have meetings with the relevant authorities, you know, persons who have businesses who are renting cars and stuff like that, to put in your contract. If you get a ticket, you got to pay it. And that and zero is the same. Because it does. If the person have a contract where they're supposed to pay the ticket and they never pay it still,
it becomes a
civil matter. You got to get a lawyer and go civil and fight it in civil court. It's still not a criminal offense. No arrest can take place, no lockup, no jail time, nothing. It's a civil matter between you and that person and your money. So it is a very foolish thing on the part of the government, a big oversight, to sanction the vehicle when it's the operator that is the one that committed the infraction.
Yeah, that's wrong.
And that is the point I sought to edify the public, and I will do it again next week. Because just like how you now hearing it, people need to be aware. Because if you buy four, let me say you get retrenched and you get some money, and you say, boy, let me buy some cars and put it on the road.
Yeah.
Partner, them drivers get ticket and then pay it and thing, and you take back your car. Because sometimes you drive up playing the fool, you say, listen, give me back my car. You ain't bringing money on time. You find every minute you had to go many my car. You say, take back your car. And now this car gets somewhere and you're looking to sell it because you want to upgrade your fleet. You can't do nothing. When you check, $10,000 in tickets on the car. You take it from a driver who had $2,000 in tickets, never paid, so that's $3,000. You get a next man, he get $2,000 in tickets, so that's $3,000, that's $6,000. You get a next man it, and by the time you get the fourth driver, you say, listen, I go and sell this car because I will get a next one. And when you go on, you have $10,000 in tickets from three different drivers and none of them have paid. And they're telling you, you can't sell this car, can't, you could sell it, but there's no transfer. You could sell it, and when, you understand? But there's no transfer. But you could sell it.
That had to be amended, man.
That is my point.
That had to be, I appreciate that. I didn't know that.
That is what I try to edify the public on today. And I'm going to come back again with it next week inside Police and You. I will be talking about it next week because this is damn foolishness, and we have to talk about it until they make a change on it. I'm not giving up with it, you know. This ain't going to be a 9-day wonder. I'll continue to tell Olio. Olio get fed up with me telling Olio because I waiting and of course, I'll be working hand in hand with the Goodly Inspector and the TEC to see what can be done because this is ludicrous.
Now, I can spread the word on that too.
You need to.
That's wrong.
All right. Thanks very much, man. Hello, good afternoon. All right, call me back. 625-225-7 or 627-3223. Another one is saying... what is the number for the logistics center, please? I will provide that information for you as well. Judge Judy Business, more reason to start developing small claims court model. I agree. It is a Judge Judy model show. Because that way it comes down to a civil matter. Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, my lord. Good afternoon, Trent DeBago. I have a situation whereby a young fella running behind my van. We went to the station and everything. Right? He agreed to fix my van in front of the police officer. Now, he did tell the police officer knew who he was, et cetera, et cetera. The police officer know the car did not belong to him, but the police officer knows it's a relative of his one. He agreed to fix my vehicle, right? The bumper, there's a Nissan Navara, the bumper is $6,000, right? For the bumper alone. So I'm not taking no second hand or whatever it is. My van is very well kept.
Well, I'm going to tell you something with that, right? Listen to what I'm going to tell you. I run into a man some years ago.
Yeah.
I bounced his Ford Ranger. I had a Sefero, JK.
Yeah.
When I hit him, his bumper bent a little bit, a little damage, number plate broke. He come out and he started to cuss and get on bad. Tell him, raise up your hand. I want a new bumper. I say, hold on. I real calm, eh?
Yeah.
So the partner was like, you see how that man cool out?
So like, why is that one, boy? I said, because we pay insurance in this country for a reason. My excess is $1,000. Yeah. I will make a report and go and make a report in my insurance company. Now, if your damages is anyway underneath $1,000, we can settle this now. You'll give me a receipt. We make a report. I'll pay you. But anytime it cross in $1,000, that's why I pay insurance. I'll pay my excess and you handle your business.
Yeah.
You want a new bumper. Now, insurance companies ain't going to buy a new bumper for a scrape and a dent. They're going to pong it up. So, the thing about it is, when I told him that now, he went down to the station. We went in the police station in St. Joseph. We made the report. He tell the police, I want a new bumper. I'm not playing. Look at my van. My thing well kept. I want a new bumper. The police come out and watch him. He say, hey, what's going on, partner? An adjuster come in here. And you see this new bumper thing, you're not going to get that. You'll get a new number plate. You're not even going to get a pair of plates. You're going to get one because it's only the back is damaged. They're going to pay for a plate. He say, the goodly gentleman said to you that if your damages is anyway under $1,000, it can be settled.
But which if is more but, than reasonable. Which is more than reasonable.
But if your damage is all kind of $2,000 and $3,000 and $5,000, I will pay my excess. That's what I pay insurance for. And you go and make a claim and handle your business. That is the law of the land. So people just get frightened and panic. Now, any accident or incident I come into, I let you know straight up, if I am wrong and I accept blame, okay, my excess is $1,000.
Right.
Or $2,500. Whatever my excess is. Once your damage is within them parameters, rather than go and make the claim, I could settle you out of pocket.
Because at the end of the day, you lose your no-claim bonus also too.
Right. So I could settle the claim.
Exactly.
Right. But anytime you telling me $10,000, well, I pay my excess. I pay insurance for that, you know. I go deal with the no-claim after.
No, but let me get the story that going to now.
Right.
The fella refused to report it to the insurance company. The fella who owns the vehicle also refused to report to the insurance company in order for them to settle my thing. Now when I went to the station or the police, was it that long gone now? We don't want August last year. But I've been calling the fella trying to, and then he began to get disrespectful on the phone. So, it was a kind of bad John thing. Now, me ain't really out for them kind of bad John thing because me ain't no bad John. I'm that kind of crazy for if you get me crippling, but I ain't bad John. When I went to my insurance company, saying that I need to get he needs to go to the insurance company to make the report or to get the statement from the police station and bring it. Now I can't get the statement from the police station. The police no longer there. They can't find the information. And this, when we talk about insurances and what goes on in the road with respect to vehicles on the road and the kind of trauma people have to go through when somebody bumps you in the road or whatever it is. Opposite to that now, I come in down Castonfield on the highway there on my Shiran Brothers Day. After that, the stupidness they do, put a third lane quite off to my Shiran Brothers on the northbound. So it caused more traffic at the end of the day. But everybody coming down that lane and they find that automatic a bigger traffic buildup. I ain't see the reason why they do it, but they have done that. But I leave from the third lane, fly straight across. And like he did not observe, the traffic in front was stopping on the third, we're talking about on the fast lane now, on that lane there. Stopped straight and pulling straight in front of me, right? And I end up hitting him behind. Because he comes straight and mash the brakes right in front of me. Now, I was carrying a dog to the vet, so I had to be very careful while driving on the people's road. People know. Now, mind you, everybody saw what happened. They want to know what kind of madness he did for me to come across, straight and fly straight across, you know, right? And there's no way I could have pulled to the side. As I say, I'm conscious about the fella behind me, right, and the dog on my tray. You know what does he claim? He claiming for a whole tailpiece behind in his vessel and everything, right? I say, okay, boss, I can't buy my shit. And then I say, you know what I'm saying? Let me find out what they're going to cost and what's up. I'm willing to think. He went to the shit. He went to the joint. And now he's getting very little outside. Now, want to come back to me now for me to fix the vessel. I said, no way. I said, that time passed. I don't make report. I don't give the insurance company whatever it is. You and the insurance company deal with that. So in this road, it's not an easy thing with respect to them fellas time and where the fine tune of the law is concerned when you're talking about accident.
So true.
That is why I still want to bring it up as we're talking about
this thing about tickets and people driving a vehicle and all them kind of things you want to do, you want to sell and them kind of thing. That really outrageous. It's not the vehicle, it's the person.
Exactly.
So why do you have a driver's permit? Why you didn't meet the demerit point and all them kind of things for it for? You understand?
Yeah.
So this is how it is really going on here, you know what I'm saying? It's a whole system whereby, I don't think the insurance companies neither do know about it, but it's a way in which the either don't pay or extort money out of you at the end of the day.
Thank you.
Talk bad manners.
That is facts. This government...
They talk bad manners.
The government...
That is where it leads to. And I was want to know if sometime people understand what really going on when accidents take place. Because the quickest thing for them to do, don't go and say a man was drunk, and he may be drunk. Don't go and say that man was drunk in an accident, you know. You get nothing out of it, you know. You get nothing out of it, you know.
Well...
Yeah, I tell you, get nothing out of it.
That is not...
A friend,
that is not 100...
And bouncy behind the vehicle. Right, mash up his car, and he just said, how this man drunk, so to put up his statement, he had to fix his own vehicle because the insurance took no responsibility. Sue him if you want. Thank you again for
Thank
your
you.
Time.
All Thank best. You.
Bye.
And I'm glad you mentioned that because I will sort to get some clarity on that. Always send me a WhatsApp and remind me. If a drunk driver bonks you, if you ain't getting repairs, let me take note. Let me take note of that because I don't want to forget it. I don't want to forget. Yeah, I had to take a little note on that. Hello, good afternoon.
Hey, David.
Yeah.
Good day, brother. But you know, if like you take people take chances and drive on the bus and you get in an accident, you know, the insurance company once they tell them bus shoot, I don't think it cover for bus shoot. So I think it is had to come out of your pocket. I don't know if it could highlight it more, right? Because that is the bus shoot, and I don't think our insurance cover that if we private vehicles get an accident in the bus shoot now, right? So it's good to educate the public about that. Also, the insurance company, sometimes people try to get away from reporting it to the insurance. So like what you were saying, if we could settle it, right? But it's have a lot of dishonest people out there, you know what I mean? So they rather lean on the insurance company sometime. So the money will come up from the, as you say, you pay the insurance. But then it had this costing and thing when you see man getting little touching, because it happened to me, a man touched me from behind too. And basically, it then the bumper and he getting on and this bad on kind of thing. Right, so I went out in the station, I make a report. You know, next thing he driving, the police and them know he by the junction driving vehicle and thing. Like, he ain't reaching the station yet. So when I went back the next day and I asked the police, why fix that yourself, yes? Because the police and them like themselves, them just get fed up too because it ain't easy how they dealing with these kind of things. You know what I mean? So I just want to find out a little more about driving on the bus shoot and if they get an accident, if the insurance company does cover for that too.
All right. I will answer you that question now. Listen on the radio. Hello, good afternoon.
Hey. Good afternoon. Good morning.
Yeah.
Your mind is running over that insurance will cover the legal use of the vehicle.
No.
If you have a private car and you're operating taxi and you're in an accident and it is found that you're operating taxi, which means you're using a vehicle illegally, they won't cover it. If you're driving on the bus route and you do not have permission to drive on the bus route, you're driving illegally, you're not covered. If you're driving under the influence of illegal, you're not covered.
Now, where you get that information from?
Well, that's my understanding of it. And I had the experience of a friend of mine being hit, crossing the bus chute, and the car that hit him was taking a chance running on the bus chute illegally. And he got in real trouble with the insurance for that.
Well, here what's going on. That information is not accurate.
Well,
I don't know what it is. Right now, your car is insured to drive on the roads of Trinidad and Tobago.
Right.
Any road. If you break the traffic law,
yeah,
then you pay the penalty. The car is insured. That's why when police stop you on the bus route, they don't give you a ticket for driving without insurance. You get a ticket for violating the prohibited or restricted use of the road by your vehicle.
That's news to me, but
that is facts. That is fact. I am telling you. And I will get an insurance agent on the line next week, because I'm out of time this week, and we will clear up those issues. But I'm telling you.
I got it, though. That's real good news for me. I can share that information with you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Because if you drive in a car, and you're driving in a Savannah, you're driving in the Savannah to park, and you end up bouncing the next guy in the Savannah, where you're telling me the insurance can't fix it? That is not true. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, Davey.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, David, what you just said is the truth.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what happened to me, Eddie. They were fixing the Silver Bridge in Davadide before readily.
Mm-hmm.
You know the bridge?
Yeah.
And they were directing all the traffic
onto the bus route. That's right.
But you're supposed to come out down by Arima Road there and go back on the main road. I decide, I say, see me, right? I go straight to the right corner of Five River Junction, yes? And when I reach by the traffic light, before Five River Junction, and I stop, light on red, a man runs straight in the back and hit me. You know I tell you? And he do so, I say, but I tell him myself, I say, good. I don't know what happened because I'm really supposed to swim up higher.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the insurance for the people was down Makoya there, down by Jack Warner place, down there. I think it's amalgamated, or they call them.
Uh-huh.
Right? And we went there, and we get fixed up.
Yeah?
You understand? I get the vehicle fixed.
Exactly.
Because I and all they thought that there would be a problem because I need bus route. I was not unauthorized after a certain point, but I passed where I was supposed to swing up. And on red, waiting on the traffic light, a man runs straight in the back. You understand? So what I'm saying is he didn't have no penalty. I ended up getting back the vehicle fixed and thing, and you know, I was going to the head office to the to his insurance and thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I get back to. So what you now say there is the truth. And what I'm telling you is what happened to me. Not nobody tell me.
Exactly.
To me.
I had an infraction some years ago with it as well. So that's what I'm saying. That information. Thank you very much for sharing your experience. Greatly appreciate. So that's what I'm saying. That information that other caller said is inaccurate. Because when you insure your vehicle, the insurance covers the vehicle on the roads of Trinidad and Tobago. So if you go up a one-way street by accident, because you didn't see the sign or the sign come down, all you do is violate a traffic offense. You have committed a traffic violation. But the car is on a road. It's operational. It is insured. It's covered. So the insurance cannot tell you the car fix your car. They have to fix it. That's why you pay insurance for that. Against the law if they don't. Hello, good afternoon.
David, unless the insurance don't have a policy that tells you in writing if you are found guilty of being under the use of alcohol to over the percentage.
And I don't think.
I agree with that.
I don't think no insurance going to do that.
Let her do it.
Because they're going to lose.
They have to pay the claim.
They're going to lose. Because if I go to an insurance company, and that is why I go somewhere else. So somebody go come up with insurance, and they go pay insurance, and they will get through. So any insurance come up with that, they go lose business because a few people go leave them. Because
you can tell me, you're not paying my claim because I'm on the drunk. How you know that I'm on the drunk?
Dime a point.
You understand?
Dime a point.
This doctor on his team to tell me.
But
because that man gone 2 days after me report the accident. He have a certain amount of time, right?
What's the amount of time you're talking about?
Report the accident.
Well, that information you have is skewed as well. All right. I'll clear it up for you now.
Yeah, man.
All right. Listen off here. Now, people like to believe that when you get in an accident, you have a certain amount of time or you have 24 hours to report the accident. That is nonsense. When you get in an accident, you are to report it to the nearest police station in the quickest possible time. That means unless you are rendered incapacitated, meaning that you're unconscious, you were hospitalized, and that once you're up and could move, you go to the station immediately. There ain't no 24 hours later. No. People have a misconception of that. That is not the law. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Davies. Calling from Chin Chin. You know you have 4 years to make a claim if you get an accident. If you get an accident, that's the law.
4 years to make a claim with the insurance?
Yeah, 4 years to make a claim. And if you make an accident, I manage it today.
Well, I can't speak to that
I will have to do some research on that. So if you say 4 years, you say 4 years. I can't speak to that. But I know when it comes to reporting the accident to the police,
well, you right. quit I in the... I'm 4 years to meet back in.
Well, okay. I am not aware of that. So I can't speak to that.
They take them 12 months to get a police report and telling you you have to go and get the police report and I pay more.
All right.
And I went through that recently that civil accident. Thank you, Mr.
Lee. All right, you're welcome, buddy. Thank you very much for calling. Somebody, a texter saying, another thing I saw happened to a driver that he posted was being stopped from entering license office because his jeans had little cuts on both sides. It wasn't nothing visible. I didn't know license office had major dress code. Well, yes, government buildings, even primary schools and secondary schools, there are a dress code to attend to enter these government buildings. No sleeveless, no short sleeve, no short pants. There's a dress code to enter government buildings and institutions. So that is nothing new. Having an interview with an insurance agent will bring clarity to these issues because once your vehicle has insurance, it was not specified where to drive. Exactly my point. No, that's not open up to 5 years before being closed. For accident is 5 years. Some insurance is 4 years. All the best to you. Thank you very much, buddy. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon. Maybe what about this one, right? You're involved in an accident. But when organized the business the next person, the insurance, you're half right and half wrong.
What is
50,
that?
50-50.
No.
Is that you're right or you're wrong?
That's correct. And let me tell you something. On the report, on the RTA, the road traffic report that they write and send to the insurance, there is a code. There's a code that is put on the report that the insurance company get. When they see that code, they will already deduce that the police officers, with their investigation, would have said whether you were right in the accident or wrong in the accident.
Well, let me tell you what happened, right?
And have a place for it.
I have a case like that, right? I tell the corporal, the sergeant, the police, everybody telling the next person they're wrong, right? And then the insurance decided 50-50. Well, they done because check everything from here. And I don't know what caused me not to take that check, boy. And a whole month I'm running until somebody tell me go legal aid.
That's correct.
Brother, man.
Go for the tail. That is correct.
Within a week time, they call me. They say they're ready to settle in full.
You see? Them insurance and them just stink and them just stink sometimes. You gotta go and deal with it on that level. Thank you very much for sharing your experience, sir. You understand? I just want to bring these things to the fore because I know a lot of persons are unsure of what happens. You understand? So, at the end of the day, all right, somebody's now texting me and said Tobago doesn't have a dress code anymore. Well, we know most institutions, they have a dress code. It's up to them. They can or not have it. I mean, neither high nor there. Oh, gosh. If you're going to do business, you're going to dress it. You know, that's just me. Dress properly and go to the people place now. You want to rock there in a short pants, like, in a Bermuda short like you're on the beach? No, man, come on. I mean, it's neither here nor there. But it's at some institutions, you cannot walk in the place dressed anyhow. Just like going to court. You feel like you go to court in a short pants? Do you believe you can go before a match in a short pants? You ain't fine, but I go into court. Where is that? I go and answer my case, whatever. Dress however. No, you cannot. So, and neither here nor there. Hello, good afternoon.
DV.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, what happened? I got a guy bounced me in a Rima on the 20th of December. An insurance company, he hit me from behind. An insurance company gave me a run around. To get up when I went in the station today to get a police report, the police give me dance me to get a report, you know, and it's over a month now.
Nah, you see, you can
over
pay
a month now.
No,
I am.
Well, here is what
the guy he admitted he was wrong, because he struck me from
and you ain't get a report yet. What station you went to?
Arima
police station.
If
well, here is what
good officer, I'll appreciate it very much.
Here is what, send your information to me on 306-1065 now. I will pass this on to ASP Pitt and Inspector Phillips. We will get that sorted out.
Thank you very much.
So send a WhatsApp to me now with your name and a contact number, and I will deal with that after the show. To 306-1065.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. You see, them kind of injustices. Now, you can pay for your report, you know, $50 or something. So you go in the station, you pay for your report. You pay for your report, take your report and go your way. You understand? But don't let nobody fool you and thief your head that if you're on the bus route, and you get in an accident, the insurance is null and void. That is not true. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, baby.
Yeah.
Yes. That
real quick.
From Arima was wrong. Your explanation was 100% correct, and Tabaki just affirmed that with his instance that he had there.
Yeah.
In terms of the last caller there, and a number of persons who are having challenges in terms of getting a report from accident, you should get a receipt after you make a report.
You must get a receipt.
Right. So but make sure and collect all the receipts.
Collect
so
your receipt.
Run out a book and run out a
paper. Nah, that'll find some way to give you that. You want your receipt. And when you get your receipt, pay $50 and take the report.
Right. You're supposed to get a receipt, and if they decide to run you around, like you're going around the Queen's Park Savannah, what you can do, you can utilize the TTPS app and upload the information there. It's a person to monitor that app, and you should get some level of address there as well. So upload your information there to the TTPS app in terms of the challenges that you're having, the police station, and of course from your receipt, you will know which specific officer would have dealt with you. He's usually supposed to sign up on the receipt. All right, so that could work as well in terms of, and of course you can utilize Mr. Philip as well to assist.
Well, right, I forget about the app. Yeah, any problems you have, been download the TTPS app in the Google Play Store or the Apple Store, and you're good to go. All right, Kadeem. All right, thanks very much. Oh, sorry, Kadeem, I didn't realize you had the next point. Hello, good afternoon. All right, cool. Okay, guys, we got to wind things down. The show is coming to a close as we are getting set to wrap things up for this edition. You have 30 seconds.
Normally, I know the insurance personnel let's go and collect that report in the station.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. But you
so
can pay money and take it.
Paying that service to the insurance and they're not doing what they're supposed to do properly.
You can pay and get a copy of the insurance, of the arm.
Yeah, but why should I pay when I pay the insurance and they have that responsibility to collect that report?
Well, that was say, it's dice how Trinidad is, boy.
But you could do anything in Trinidad and get away, boy. In fact, these schemers and then could scheme you all out and get away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right, guys, that wraps things up for today on today's edition of The Overdrive. Of course, you know, I always promise you guys information, entertainment, fun, laughter, and we usually get that in abundance once I'm on the air. All right, so Kadeem, the entire team, Benny, everybody, somebody says, why you have to get a VAT letter for a claim? All these questions will be addressed next week as I would look into getting an insurance agent on the program to deal and address these issues for you guys. All right? But don't let nobody tie up your head. You're getting an accident, don't quarrel with nobody, you know. If you accept liability because they recognize you bongs behind or whatever, just let the person know here what's going on. This is my insurance. That's why you pay insurance. People want to come out and fight and cuss and think. That is necessary. That is why insurance are being paid. Because once you're on the road, accidents can happen. It wasn't done deliberate. Nobody deliberately going out on the road to bong the car. So it's an accident. It's an accident, all right? So don't panic. Don't panic when these things happen, all right? Remember to have yourself a great weekend. I also want to touch on children next week about bullying and how to deal with those things. And remember that there is an old saying, and I will say it again, love at first sight is often cured by a second look. But once you fall in love with Davey, you will never, ever have to look again. Until the next one, when you miss me, I'm gone.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.